I'm scared that I'm not going to do well. I'm scared I'm not going to be a good Christian. It's in our heads what's holding us back from making that step, from making that transition sometimes. You know, no one said that it's ever going to be easy. No one ever said that you are going to be perfect once you become a Christian. But are you trying? Are you truly and honestly putting forth effort? Or for that invitation, if you are already Christian and want to ask for any help, prayers, because you have not been as faithful as you would like to be or as you should be, that can be a scary thing as well. You know, it didn't seem so long ago that even I had came to the front asking for help, asking for prayers, asking for guidance. You know, even making that walk up here, you know, my legs were shaking, my heart was pounding in my chest, but not because I thought somebody would point at me and judge me for it, just because it's in my own mind what was keeping me back from making that step, from coming to the front, for asking for help. And I'm not trying to say that to dissuade anybody or discourage anybody from making that step to come to the front whenever they're in need of help. You know, at some point in our lives, we're going to ask for that help. We're going to ask for that assistance. It's inevitable. There's no way that we can take on all these burdens and all of these things that life throws at you just on our own without any help. And sometimes we need to understand that it takes courage, immense courage to do so. It takes courage and dedication to be a Christian, period. When others like to point out faults or times where Christians are viewed as hypocrites, we need to make sure we're not giving off that idea. What we believe and what we say needs to go hand in hand. What we do, our actions speak tremendously to others that are around us, others that view us, and those who perceive us. Turn to the book of James. James chapter 2. We're going to be looking at James 2, verses 17 and 26. James 2, verse 17 and 26. And the Bible says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Fast forward to verse 26, it reads, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Simply put, black and white, there's no confusion. There's no fancy words that are used. Faith without works is dead. So if we are saying we are Christian, are we showing that we are Christian? Are we working as a Christian? Let's also look in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Same thing. Nothing confusing about that. There's no games. There's no tricks. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, but specifically through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, there are times where we are going to struggle greatly. There are times where I struggle greatly. You know, as I mentioned in the last time where I was up here speaking, there are times where we are going to struggle immensely. During that struggle, you could feel as if you lose yourself for a bit. You lose focus on what's important. practicing what you preach. Once again, being a Christian is not easy, and it was never meant to be so. Being a Christian is not just about praying for the meal that's in front of you, thanking God for having food on the table, not that just alone. Being a Christian isn't solely about that. Being a Christian is a commitment that you make to God, being His servant, not being a part of the world, but living towards God. A high reward job for a life, for a life's worth of dedication. Not partially, but fully. You know, all of that work is not worth anything unless our heart, our mind is in it. We can say that we are a Christian. We can hear the word of God, believe it to be truth, repent, confess and be baptized into Christ, but that does not guarantee us a spot in heaven. We have to put in the work, the love, the dedication, give God everything that He deserves all throughout our lives. We put in that work and love towards Him, and He gives us the growth. You know, as we grow older, we have to understand, you know, we are human and we make mistakes, but we aren't those kids anymore. We aren't those little ones that use the pencils, the ones who do not understand fully the consequences of the mistakes that are being made. We are more conscious about what we do. We need to understand that the mistakes we make, about the sin that we commit, has more of an impact than just continuously doing it over and over again without thinking there will be any real repercussions. Because once that day of judgment comes, what we did in our lives here on this earth will determine where we go for all eternity. Either heaven or hell. God is the judge, but we are the ones who are responsible for where we end up. To be with God forever, it is achievable. Undoubtedly, it is achievable. The opportunity that we have isn't because of anything that we did, but only because of one. You can turn there if you'd like, because I'm going to be naming a few verses here. But the first of which is going to be John 14, verse 6. And it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if that isn't already obvious, that's Jesus speaking in that verse. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." John 10, verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." If it isn't already obvious, Jesus is the only way, the true way, towards salvation with God. He suffered a painful death, was buried, rose after 3 days, and eventually ascended to be at the right hand of God, all so that we could have a chance at being saved, that we could stand an actual fighting chance into overcoming sin, overcoming death, overcoming evil. Do not take God's grace so lightly. Because remember, we did not deserve such amazing grace. Yet, He still sent His only Son to die here on this earth. He is your one and only chance. Take it. Don't squander it. Don't pass it. Take it. Once you obey the plan of salvation, you rise to a newness of life, a new person, a Christian. That's a new slate. All that pen that was written down, gone. But be mindful. That does not mean that henceforth we get to write with the pencil. Our actions still hold value, whether that be for good or not. We don't get to go back and erase those mistakes that we made. Be mindful of the way that you live, the way that others perceive you. Put God first in your life. If you haven't obeyed, this invitation is for you. That chance at salvation, take that step. Take that chance. Don't wait another moment. Or if you are already a Christian and you have not been doing your best, you feel as if you haven't been making the best choices, this invitation is for you as well. Things can only get better if we acknowledge them. Understand that we are doing wrong and correct our mistakes. Not go back and keep doing them and doing it after one after another. Learn from our mistakes. Be better. Be better for God. We don't want to go down that path of becoming comfortable with sin, becoming complicit with making those mistakes. Won't you come forward as we stand and as we sing the song of invitation?